Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Good Wednesday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the opening commodity market report. The International Energy Agency today says that the U.S. is on track to become one of the most energy-efficient countries in the developed world by the end of the decade. The IEA says energy efficiency policies and programs will triple the amount of energy the U.S. saves in 2020 to nearly 3,000 terawatt hours from under 1,000 terawatt hours in 2011, and combined with surging oil production could almost halve U.S. oil imports by the end of the decade. PepsiCo Incorporated is reporting a higher quarterly profit as stronger sales of its Frito-Lay's snacks helped offset weaker results in its North American beverage unit. PepsiCo says it earned $1.91 billion, or $1.23 per share, for its third quarter. That compares with $1.9 billion, or $1.21 per share a year ago. Revenue rose 2% to $16.91 billion. Volume for its America Food division rose 3%, but the beverage unit in the American division, which has been under pressure to improve results, saw a volume decline of 4%. The Dow Jones Industrial Average trading 15,187. It's up 92 points. The NASDAQ 3254, up 13.75. And the S&P 500 is trading 1703, and it is up 11 points. Market analyst Aaron Curtis of MITCO in Bloomington Normal, Illinois, says WILL Agriculture provides dependable and timely commodity market analysis.
The sharing of the news and the sharing of the opinion, I think, is vital in today's environment. I think from a producer standpoint, it's nice to be able to turn to somewhere to get some news, to get to see what's going on in the market, and also to get some opinion on the market as they continue to make some of these decisions in a very volatile marketplace.
Les Schulte is alongside. Les, we're really in very uncertain times for our farmers right now.
We sure are, Dave. And you know, just trying to figure out what to do is very, very hard. You know, there's the shutdown of ag information flow from the National Ag Statistics Service. There's the debt ceiling crisis that we're hearing about, you know, day after day after day after day after day. There's the downtrend in futures prices for both corn and soybeans, and there's no farm bill that's been passed yet. So, and thus no understanding of what the new safety nets will look like. You know, but one thing, there is one thing that you can count on.
What is that?
And that's WILL Agriculture. Thanks for asking, Dave. That's WILL Agriculture. You know, we're here with dependable information that you can use day in and day out, no matter what else is going on in the world. And so we think that that's, you know, a valuable service that we can bring to you, information that you can use in your business to make decisions. Think about making maybe a $75 contribution to help support this service right now. Whatever fits into your budget, though, that's all we're asking for you to do right now. Whatever works for you. But think about maybe a $75 contribution. And to encourage you to support WILL and our agricultural service, there's a group of loyal ag friends who've gone together to create an ag fund challenge for this fall fund drive. And if we can hear from at least 100 pledges this week, then mention WILL Ag. They'll add $2,250. It's $2,250 to our pledge total. And so we want to thank these folks. We want to thank AgriGold, Bates Commodities, Stuart Peterson, the Champaign County branch, Strategic Farm Marketing, the Andersons. Now, these are loyal people. These are people that you hear on our air all the time. They work for us all the time, give you information that you can use, and they understand the value, and they put together this fund. You know, that would would pay for commodity
wheat. Well, yeah, almost a year of commodity. We can think about how dependable commodity wheat is for you week in, week out, year in, year out, and how valuable that information is to you even in times when there doesn't seem to be a lot going on and there's a lot of uncertainty. We're there.
Sure.
Providing that timely information, providing that dependable information. 217-244-9455,
or you can go online to willpledge.org. Simple, it's easy.
Joining us now with some of that dependable and timely information is our meteorologist, Drew Lerner.
This morning, the outlook across the Midwest has not changed greatly from that of yesterday. It still looks as though the weather pattern is going to provide more precipitation that is very light on a more frequent occurrence than what was suggested previously, perhaps. And there will be some disruption to farming activities, especially soybean harvest, just simply because the soybeans can't have any moisture on them in order to allow for harvesting to advance. So those areas that get the drizzle and brief periods of shower activity will probably see the slowest forward pace on farming or harvesting activity as we move forward through this period of time. There will be showers periodically across the Great Lakes region in particular on a near daily basis as we go through the balance of this work week and into the weekend. And most of the precipitation that occurs is going to be very light, running a few hundredths of an inch, upwards to perhaps a quarter of an inch on any given day. But there's also going to be some precipitation that occurs in the Ohio River Valley as well. A second disturbance will likely develop there tomorrow and will move up from southeastern Missouri and western Kentucky into Ohio. Again, the rain's not going to be real heavy, but there will be enough of it to cause some delay in farming activity. The precipitation in the lower Midwest might disappear for a day or a day and a half, but another cool front will cut through the region as we move on out into the weekend, and that will bring yet another opportunity for some showers across the region. I think most of the precipitation that occurs is going to be brief and light for the most part, and its disruptive properties will be only somewhat of a small issue for right now, but it is going to be progressively cooling. We are going to see greater amounts of storminess in the eastern United States as we get deeper into October and November, so the pressure is going to be building that we will need to get these crops out of the field as quickly as possible. Well, the temperature outlook across the Midwest over these next few days is certainly going to have a bit of a cooler bias. We'll look for the afternoon temperatures cooling down quite a bit from where they've been in the past couple of weeks, with readings expected over the afternoon today probably warmest, with some 70-degree readings possible. Still on the southeastern fringes of the Corn Belt country in Ohio, most everybody will be seeing highs today in the 50s and 60s, however, and high temperatures as we go on out into the day tomorrow will be 50s and 60s. We'll probably see the same thing really prevailing on into the weekend with some 40s expected in the north as time moves along. We're still anticipating some significant freezing temperatures to occur in the northwestern Corn Belt, but obviously they will be occurring later than usual, and the impact on crops should be relatively low. We'll look for temperatures in the upper 20s and 30s on Friday morning, and then more deeply into the 20s across the Dakotas, Minnesota, and portions of northern Iowa and Wisconsin as we get out into Sunday morning. Saturday morning will already have some 20s in it, and it wouldn't surprise me to see a few upper teens occur near the Canada border in North Dakota or Minnesota. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's how futures are currently trading. December hard red winter wheat at 754 and three quarters is down 1.5. Soft December, 684 and a half, down 1.25. December corn, 441 and a half, down 2. November soybeans, 1275 and a half, up 8.5. December soybean meal, 404.10, up 170. December soybean oils, 41.14, up 48. October live cattle, 129.17 and a half, up 67 and a half. October feeder cattle, 166.20, up 50. And December lean hogs are 88.35 and they are up 55. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning, Dave. Glad to be with you again.
The corn rally that we're seeing on the charts in the last few days, how real is it, and do you think that it might be further fueled when we get information back? Let's say we pop some big export numbers. Might it be wise for producers to have some orders ready at the market, because we could see a big pop and then it gets sold off?
Most assuredly. I think one of the assessments, we thought that the market was a little bit oversold and poised for a little recovery this week. We've been, the bounces that we've seen lately have been underperforming our expectations. But I would say, you know, placing some orders up against last week's high in the March corn for stuff that you're going to put in the bin is probably a practical solution. That's going to be probably about the 460 level in the March. I think that warrants strong consideration. Beans, on the other hand, I don't think you need to wait for the bounce. You're looking at the market without much carry in it. Selling it across the scale with a thought of reownership down the road might be a good consideration.
Well, how would you do that reownership?
Probably with some out-of-the-money calls, depending on what situation develops. What we've had is like basically a fulcrum under the market. If the national average bean yield starts to slip between 41 to 40, we'd probably be a fairly aggressive reownership, probably doing some $15 or $16 calls in the Jan or the March. But until we see that happen, we're probably just going to keep our powder dry and make our sales at good value levels.
One of the things that we heard about old crop soybeans when it came to the meal was the protein level was very poor. But we're hearing that the protein level in this new crop is much better. And I think the delivery number is 48% protein for delivery at the board. Are you thinking that because of the protein improved over last year, we're going to see deliveries this year over the meal?
You know, it's possible, but I think when you get better protein, what you probably are going to do is see better export demand, because we also saw some issues out of South America that their meal quality off this last crop was not so good, which basically directed some of the meal business to us. So I'd say realistically that makes us a better candidate for picking up more exports down the road than anything. As far as deliveries against the futures, most of the time you don't want to deliver a high-quality meal against a futures position.
Also, spending some time this week talking to our analysts about 2014 and wondering for corn, you're looking at July at 469.5. You're looking at some numbers for next year. Mm-hmm. December 14 is 482.5. Are these prices low enough to discourage planting of corn in 2014?
Not right now. I'd say right now we've basically been trying to look at maybe getting some sales made for that 2014, especially in that corn. One of the things that we've seen right now is the Russian planting, winter grain planting, is at about 11.2 million hectares, down from 14.3 a year ago. If that happens, they're probably going to have a few additional corn acres for Russia and the Ukraine over there. That's going to be in competition and maybe give the world a little bit of an oversupply for next fall.
Yeah, that's, I guess, what I'm wondering. I'm wondering, given the big carryover that we potentially might see in corn, more than 2 billion, we can quibble on just what
sure.
side of it is, that if we go ahead with a big plant next spring, what that could eventually mean for corn prices come a year from now.
Sure, and there are some advisors out there reaching out even to the 2015. I don't think we really want to go there. 2014, 15% to 30%, 35% is a consideration, but I wouldn't want to push it past that. And also, South America's crop, how it comes out in the spring is going to have a pretty big influence on our acreage mix, too.
One more final word on soybeans before we let you go.
I think realistically we're at good value levels. We're probably getting over the hump as far as harvest is concerned. The basis level at the Gulf perked up 10 cents, so the demand is out there. Make good value-based sales.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, Dave.
Bill Gentry of Risk Management Commodities, and he is in Lafayette, Indiana. You know, Les, you just heard from Bill with a lot of market advice about how to actually get the most out of marketing your crops, how to increase your bottom line. That is the kind of information that we provide a lot around here, because we do have sort of an eye toward helping the producer sell the crop and also helping them in terms of understanding world economic factors that go into it.
That's right, Dave. And especially times like these when there are uncertain times.
Right.
You really need that kind of information and that you can use. And this service has been built on what you've told us that you want. It's a partnership.
It is a partnership, very much so.
So we're providing the information that you want, you've told us you need, and a couple of times a year we come to you and we ask for your help in supporting this service, and that's what we're doing right now. Call 217-244-9455 or go online to willpledge.org. We know that this is a busy time of the year. For you.
Extremely so. Lots of things going on with the harvest.
Absolutely. But can you take a couple of minutes, two, maybe 3 minutes, and make your pledge of support to WILL? We have this challenge going on from AgriGold and Bates Commodities and the Champaign County branch, Stuart Peterson, Strategic Farm Marketing, the Andersons. They have a pool of money, $2,250. We can add to our pledge total when we hear from 100 callers throughout the week that mention ag as one of the services they appreciate. We're 80 calls away. We
right.
understand that you know, a lot of people have to wait till the last part of the week to make that call.
Yes.
You're busy. Maybe you got a little break right now. Take a couple of minutes and call 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org and make your pledge of support to this service on WILL, your public radio station.
You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana, coming up on 9:06 Central Time.